J Files on Double J.
So the J Files is about getting stuck into the music you love, right? We dig deep down, right into the stories behind the songs. When and why were they written? What weird thing happened when they were recorded? And what do they even mean? Well, today it's going to get pretty epic because you're about to sit down with one of indie rock's finest as he shares with you the secrets behind his writing and recording process.
There was just something kind of cool about it, you know, but I didn't think it was a very special song necessarily. It was something I definitely wanted to work on and flush out.
Well, this is just a simple song to say what you've done.
Hey, Gab Burke here, J Files producer at Double J, and this is the J Files podcast. And right now, the legendary James Mercer, singer songwriter and all round genius behind The Shins, is about to dish out the glorious details of how he came up with some of the greatest indie rock tunes of the last 20 years. You're going to hear what his favourite song to work on was.
Yeah, it's just a good, crazy, weird, modern rock song.
The song that was a real struggle to get finished.
I just felt this incredible weight on my shoulders, like, you've got to get this done.
And the moment a Hollywood superstar mentioned The Shins' name and everything changed.
She's saying the word The Shins in the movie, you know? And we're like, what?
Great remains of a friendship.
But if we track back to the beginning, The Shins started out in Albuquerque, New Mexico in 1992, and they were called Flake and then Flake Music.
Use a pen to reflect what you've got left to protect on the old dusty shelves in your childhood. You've got a lot to go on, plus there's some stuff in the bar, but I hope you decide in case you ever try.
But by the end of the decade and a few changes to the lineup, Flake evolved into The Shins. James Mercer reckons it was turn-of-the-century technology and a revolutionary new digital music sharing service that was the game-changer for the band.
I bought a Roland six-track recorder. I can't even remember the exact name of it, but it was right when Roland came out with a digital recorder. So I was able to use that to record drums over at my buddy's house, who had a basement, and we could be loud down there. I would take the drums, and I would manually take those six tracks, and I would put them onto my computer, onto the Hewlett-Packard, and you know, by ear, trying to make sure the phase was okay. I mean, it was just this painful process. But I was starting to get some pretty good sounds because before that, I had only used a cassette four track, and I didn't really know how to do that properly. And I put together a CD. I burned some CDs myself, and I had a few of these songs roughly recorded. I had New Slang, a song called When I Goose Step. I sold these at shows, and I made like 50 of them. They took off on Napster. There were like thousands of kids who had them all of a sudden on Napster. I started getting like responses just from people I knew, like friends, some of them girls, were like all of a sudden like talking to me. I think that's when I was like, oh, maybe I have this Shins thing. Maybe I should keep recording.
The debut Shins album, O Inverted World, arrived in 2001, and with it, one of the greatest indie rock anthems ever created. And fun fact, we have Violent Femmes to thank for New Slang.
I do remember the beginnings of that song coming together. I remember showing my girlfriend at the time, and it was just the verse. It was just sort of that chord progression, you know, starting on A minor, and there was just something kind of cool about it, you know. But I didn't think it was a very special song necessarily. It was something I definitely wanted to work on and flush out. I do remember the bridge was inspired by a Violent Femmes song, the last song on their first record, Good Feeling. Oh, good feeling, won't you stay with me just a little longer? And at the end it goes, da da ba da 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 ba ba. It has these odd numbers that stack up, and that was the inspiration for the bridge. Kind of about the bleakness of being in your late 20s and realizing, I guess I'm going to have to grow up and bite the bullet here. And I don't, you know, you just sort of that aimlessness. I certainly was pretty aimless through my 20s. Sorry, Mom and Dad.
While New Slang was the song that really made waves for the Shins, it wasn't until a Hollywood movie star gave a shout-out to the band in an indie film in 2004 that things really took off, but we're going to get to that soon. First, the song that was a real struggle to get finished. It's one of the big tracks of the second album, Shoots Too Narrow.
I had met Phil Eck recently, who's a very talented producer and mixing engineer. And so I hired him to mix the record. And so we went up to Seattle and went to this very expensive studio, which was the first time I'd ever been in such a place, you know. And Phil was really cool and helped us with the sounds and stuff. Young Pilgrims was written in the van. I was staying with a friend, like sleeping on the couch. I would wake up at about 3 a.m, and I'd go out to the van because I didn't want to wake anybody up in the house, and I'd work on Young Pilgrims. And I did that for a couple nights and was so sleep deprived and so stressed out because I just felt this incredible weight on my shoulders, like, you've got to get this done. Like, and I had never been pressured to do anything like that. You know, it was crazy. But I learned fast how to keep my head up, cause I know there is this side of me that... I was like almost hallucinating, you know, from the stress and everything. But yeah, and it ended up being a cool song. So Phil managed that whole process and engineered everything, and we got Young Pilgrims on the tape at the nick of time.
Still to come, the song James Mercer counts as his absolute favourite and the movie star that changed his life. But while I've got you here, I'd love you to do me a favour and tell me what you think of the J-Files podcast. What you like about it, what you want to hear more of, your thoughts are greatly appreciated and they're exactly what I need to hear. And don't worry, there's something in it for you too. If you rate and review the podcast, I'm going to send you your very own Double J tote bag, Double J sticker, and Punk Is Calling, our punk compilation CD featuring some of the greatest punk tunes ever. And it also features 4 exceptional punk covers by Aussie legends Adelita, Bob Evans, Jen Kloa, and Paul Dempsey. What a prize. Ever fallen in love with someone? Ever fallen in love with someone? Fallen in love with someone you shouldn't have fallen in love with. All you need to do is subscribe to the podcast and give me a review. And then make sure you take a screenshot of that and message it to me on Facebook at Double J Radio so I can get your details. All right, back to the Shins. Frozen into cold. While James Mercer has been the band's only constant member since the beginning, the most familiar lineup for many was Mercer, guitarist Dave Hernandez, keyboardist Marty Crandall, and drummer Jesse Sandoval. The release of the 2007 album, Wincing the Night Away, marked the end of this era for the Shins.
Wincing was, you know, another record recorded largely in the bedroom. it was a really interesting time in my life because I had just met my wife-to-be, and we were in love, and, you know, there was all that newness, but there was also some drama in the band and relationships and, you know, just changes that were on the horizon, you know, things that ended up causing trouble that led to me going it alone on Port of Morrow, you know. So it's sort of about all of that. There's both some really romantic stuff, but also some vitriol on that record. So it's kind of this tension of being happy and being angry and sad about different things.
I said things really changed for the band in 2004. Well, it turns out if you can get a Hollywood superstar to say your band's name in a film, things get pretty next level. The movie was Zach Braff's indie hit, Garden State.
We're not going to make out or anything.
What?
I'm sorry. I just like totally ruined that moment, didn't I?
No, no.
It's just that like we're not going to make out, okay?
No, I hadn't planned on it.
We were traveling the country in our Ford Econoline van, as most, you know, bands starting out do, driving ourselves from town to town. And we got a call from Sub Pop, and it was just that there was some new indie director who wanted to use our song in his movie. And he didn't even have the script done, but he knew that he wanted to have this song in the movie. And it was immediately just like, oh, cool. And then we forgot about it. And it wasn't until 2 years later that, like, you know, again, Sub Pop, Stuart Meyer, our A&R person, was like, they got Natalie Portman in this movie. She's saying the word, the shins, in the movie, you know? And we're like, what?
What are you listening to?
The shins. You know them?
No.
You gotta hear this one song. It'll change your life, I swear.
You know, it was just totally a surprise to us. And I mean, it had a pretty immediate impact because we were, you know, this is 2 years later, we've forgotten about this entirely. We're done touring now for Shoots Too Narrow, our second record. We're done. We're heading home. We get home and we start getting these calls that colleges, the universities wanted us to come play their festivals and their shows. And so we were able to book a whole tour. And now we could be in a bus, like a real rock band, you know? So totally, it was crazy. It was like, you know, how much does it cost to get Natalie Portman in a commercial?
So what's James Mercer's favorite Shins song? You're going to find out soon. But in 2017, the band released their fifth album, Heartworms. And guess where it was created? In the backyard.
We've got an old, what was a carriage house. So we renovated that for me to have a studio and a place of my own. Yeah, you know, I spent a lot of time out there and worked really hard on trying to create an engaging and different but familiar to Shins fans sort of record. I wanted a mix of new sounds, and I wanted to kind of challenge our listeners but also give them the things that they love about Shins records. I think we came up with a pretty good balance. So recorded by me largely in the backyard studio and then mixed by Yuki Matthews, our bassist. And I think we came up with a really good record.
All right, drum roll please. One of his favorite songs to write.
Rifle Spiral is one of my favorite things that I've written, but also I think Greg's production on it is just really incredible. I also play the drums on it, which is rare. You pour your life down the rifle spiral. The goal with that song was to try and make it a rock song, which is not kind of what people think of the Shins as, but I think we did a really good job. I mean, if we did a bunch of those sorts, that style of song and production, we'd be a different band. I mean, we'd be perceived very differently, but it's one of my favorites because of that. The lyrics are really, I think, quite good. They're sort of obscure, but you can kind of tease out some meaning there, I think. Yeah, it's just a good, crazy, weird, modern rock song. Go without,
till the need seeps in. All right, that's it from me. Don't forget, subscribe to the podcast, leave me a comment, and then hit me up on the Double J Radio Facebook page so I can send you some sweet Double J merch. And what's in the J Files next week? I'm Gab Burke. Catch you later.
The J Files.